You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
This is James Avera from Hellstar and Sabbath Judas Sabbath! Rock out with your geek out!
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 177 of Metal Geeks. This is your quarantine edition. You might notice a little bit of different audio this time. We are not all in the same room. We are heeding to the rules. We are definitely more than 6 feet away from each other. We're on Skype.
Considerably
farther than 6 feet.
Extreme social distancing.
That's right. But we wanted to keep doing the show. We didn't want to let this stop. Doing the show for a while. So I want to introduce everybody on the show today. Of course, we have Mr. Brutal Dave.
Hi.
Hey, that's not brutal, dude.
Hi. That's all you're getting.
Okay. And we have return guest, Mr. Justin from the Mind Fudge Comedy Podcast. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Balls.
Oh.
Just for George.
Thank you.
Because he's not here.
We haven't had balls in for a while now.
Yeah, well, I felt like it was time to bring it back.
All right. You had to drop those balls. Had to finally reached puberty. Yeah, George isn't here tonight. We couldn't get his system set up, but we're working on that. We're going to get him back on the show very soon. I think this will be the normal for a while. It's just the way it's going to be, man.
This is life now.
Yeah. How's everybody's quarantining been? Have you made any quarantinis?
No.
is that a quarantine martini?
Basically, yeah. I've had a corn whiskey or two.
Been drinking a lot more vodka than usual.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I'm usually a beer and whiskey guy. I ran out of whiskey.
Ah,
and we have vodka.
Well, that makes sense. What do you?
I don't drink.
No. But,
my drink of choice is Diet Coke, and several times through this process, I felt like I have enough Diet Coke on stock. Like at one point, I had 14 bottles.
Is that it?
Of 2 liters, and now I'm down to 6 again.
Wow.
And the other day when I was this low again, I called Papa John's and just ordered 6 bottles of Diet Pepsi be delivered to my house.
Did you really?
I did, so I didn't have to go out.
Wow. We went to the store go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was a thought that had crossed my mind a few times in the midst of all this is that, Justin, I'm sure that this whole thing has you just in fits. Probably more than the rest of us. Being a bit of a germaphobe, a bit. Is that unfair?
No, that's totally
that
fair. Definitely a germaphobe. Yeah, I hate that I can't find hand sanitizer anywhere.
Yes.
I got lucky that my company, you know, they're fully stocked, so they have it on all the wall dispensers and stuff like that. So
did you
I took
them?
All my empty bottles to work on the last day and stole a bunch out of the wall dispensers.
That's funny.
You know, every time I leave the house, which hasn't been often, but I've made a few runs to the grocery store. It's like
yeah,
I come
too.
Home, immediately strip off, throw all my clothes in the washer, get a shower. You know, I'm doing everything I can not to catch this crap because, I mean, I've already been sick 6 times this year.
Yeah, you have.
It's been a rough year to begin
like
with. I mean,
2020 calendar year?
Yes. Yeah, my
that's crazy.
My sister came from England for Thanksgiving and she brought some kind of horrible crud with her that lasted until mid-January. I was sick for over a month and a half, just coughing constantly. Finally got over that. Then I caught just like a stomach bug. And then I caught a regular cold, got over that, went to Disney World, caught something horrible at Disney World. I mean, honestly, as many times as I've been sick and all the symptoms that I've had, I might have already had coronavirus, to be honest.
That's why we're doing this on Skype.
I would have no way to know because all this happened way before any kind of testing was in place or, you know, but I've had a lot of the symptoms, so I don't really know.
I've been personally sick, but not really the same type of symptoms. I've just had like a chest thing. I did my first ever virtual doctor's appointment today. It was actually very interesting. They prescribed me a couple.
Did they make you bend over and cough?
They did not. I didn't pay. That's a different type of online you have to pay for.
Okay.
But, you know, I got some medicine prescribed to me. My wife picked it up through the drive-thru at Walgreens on the way back, and here we are. She said, if I want to go get tested, I could, but I don't know. I don't really have this.
You're having breathing problems. I mean, I don't want to bring the showdowns on an early note or whatever, but we had a friend die a couple weeks ago from this. He had pre-existing medical conditions. You know, he lived in Louisiana, but his respiration just got so bad. He died in his sleep, or he died overnight. I just don't want to see any more of my friends go that way. You know, if anybody starts having breathing problems, I really hope they take the time to go to the doctor and get tested.
I know. I do agree. I mean, I have an appointment set up. I probably will go to it anyways. I mean, it's better to be on the safe side than not know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm actually especially worried about George because he's working at a hospital.
Yeah.
While all this is going on. Yeah. And he keeps having to go into work.
He's
audio video. Like, I don't understand. That's not essential. I don't understand why he has to be there. I know they've made some public health type stuff that they posted on Facebook, and I'm sure George filmed all that, but like, you know, he could have done the editing and stuff from home. I don't see why he absolutely has to be there, and I worry about him.
Yeah. Me too. Balls.
Yeah, I'm fortunate in that my most of my day-to-day work happens at home to begin with. And all of the not at home stuff has been canceled as hell. So
You've been preparing this for a while, though, haven't you, then?
I mean, I feel like we probably were able to get a little bit ahead faster than a lot of people were.
Yeah. A lot of people aren't used to this, not being home every day. And, I mean, a lot of people are working from home, and if you can, that's the best thing to do, which I'm lucky that my job affords me to be able to do that. But it's still very different for a lot of people out there. People are used to getting up and going to work and doing what they got to do through their day. And this is just, it's surprising.
It's a huge adjustment. I mean, I'm one of those guys that used to have to get up, sit in traffic for 2 hours, go to work, you know, be there for 9 hours, sit in traffic for 2 more hours, come home. So, I mean, you would think staying at home would just be amazing because I don't have to deal with all that mess, but man, because our company was underprepared for us actually doing work at home, there's been a lot of complications, and it's been way more stressful and frustrating than it should have been. I am glad I get to stay home and work. I'm glad I don't have to go into the office. It's nice that they're at least letting us do that, even if it is way more difficult than I expected it to be.
So everybody's washing their hands and doing everything that has been advised to us by the CDC, right? Not by anybody else.
People should have been washing their hands to begin with.
I agree on that. I yelled at somebody like a couple weeks ago at work after all the stuff started happening. Went to the bathroom, was doing my thing. This guy was already doing a thing in there on the other – and then he walks out, doesn't even stop to look at the sink to wash his hands. I was like, really, dude? What's going on right now? He's like,
That's so gross.
I'm like, dude. Then you're going to, like, touch people and, like, shake their hands and eat your food? Come on, guy. I just don't understand that.
Yeah, so I was doing Sherwood Forest Festival. The last weekend that we were open, a lot of this stuff was really starting to get big here. Like, it was already a big deal overseas, but it was just starting. Just starting to look scary here, and there was still a lot of questions and a lot of not knowing stuff. But the fair was taking precautions, and one of the guys who keeps their like restroom area stocked with like paper towels and soap and that stuff. Mm-hmm. He'd come by the shop and we would chat in the mornings or in the evenings after fair hours. And he was telling me, he goes, man, it was crazy. He said, they have had me running and running. And he goes, and that's great and all. He goes, I went back one time and the line to wash your hands in the sink was all the way to the back wall, which the space he's talking about is pretty far, and then wrapped around. And he's like, man, it's great that all these people are taking the time and washing their hands. He goes, but where were all these people last week?
Right. Wash your damn hands, people.
Washing their hands last week.
I don't know how people live their lives like that. I mean, you're right. I'm a germaphobe. I wash my hands constantly. And I mean, I think a lot of that comes from my very first jobs were in the fast food industry. Mm-hmm. And you got to wash your hands every 15 minutes when you're working there. So I developed a really bad habit, a good habit, I guess, of washing my hands just constantly. And I feel like everybody should do that. You know, anytime I touch anything that other people have touched, I wash my hands. And if I can't wash them, I sanitize them. I always have like a small container of sanitizer with me.
I've seen you do that all the time. You know, Disney must have been crazy for you.
Oh, Disney was a nightmare because I left my sanitizer at home. And my sister and mom each brought one tiny thing, so I had to rely on them to sanitize my hands. I didn't eat anything. There was like 2 days we were at parks. I just didn't eat. I didn't eat the whole time. They were like, oh, let's stop and get food. And I was like, there's nowhere to wash my hands. I'm just not eating. It was rough. Yeah. And then, of course, I ended up getting sick anyways, despite doing everything I could not to.
Oh, I've got sick there one time. Would you get strep throat? Because this is not advisable. Don't do this. We were bringing refillable water bottles, just water bottles, and refilling it in the water fountains.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad
idea. Yeah, it was a bad idea. We're trying to save a buck, you know, trying to save or $4.75 for water, whatever it was.
Yeah, but their prices are outrageous there.
Yeah.
After the first day, I finally convinced my dad to take us to the grocery store, and then I bought a 2 liter and like one of those giant, like 1 liter, 1.5 liter gallons of water. And then just put both of those in my backpack and drank them throughout the day. But because of all the walking, I drank both of those like it was nothing. And by the end of the day, I was usually like, fuck, I just need more.
Did you have a good time at Aliso? What did you experience that was good for you?
We had a lot of fun. I mean, Universal was a lot of fun for me.
Did you like that more than Disney World?
I did, personally, but Disney's not really my thing the way it is yours.
We can't all be perfect. That's all right.
Yeah. I mean, we did Transformers ride, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
We did, you know, all the X-Men rides. We did some of the Hanna-Barbera stuff, some of the Dr. Seuss stuff.
Mm. Cat in the Hat dark ride is actually really cool.
Yeah, we did that. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it was just we did all the rides we could. We got the fast passes for Universal, so we got to skip a lot of the lines.
Did you do a lot of the Harry Potter stuff too?
Spent a lot of time at Wizarding World. Yeah. I drank a butter beer like every day we were there. I think.
Do you like it?
Oh yeah, it's really good.
Did you? There's three different kinds. I know there's a regular one, there's a hot one, and a frozen one.
I had the icy ones.
Yeah,
yeah, they're the best, I think.
What are they exactly? I don't actually know.
It's like a butterscotch cream soda mixture. Yeah.
Oh, I'm right out. Bye.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a lot better than butterscotch.
I
don't do butterscotch.
Well, they put this extremely sweet whipped cream on top of it that really, I mean, if you don't like sickeningly sweet stuff, you probably won't like it, but it's pretty delicious.
Now, Dave, you've never been to Universal, right?
I went to Universal Hollywood a long time ago, but yeah, we were supposed to go to Universal Orlando last September, and then all the hurricanes hit the East Coast, and so we moved our trip to the West Coast instead. So
I don't know what I'm in. We haven't figured out what we're doing yet. My trip is still planned for the end of May. Not going to probably happen. We're just going to try to move it, but who knows? Everything in such disarray right now. I don't know when we should move.
It's really hard to tell what the future's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, if it reopens, is it going to be, you know, nothing. Everything's in flux right now.
Yeah, I mean, Dave just mentioned hurricane season. I mean,
yeah.
We're about to enter into that. So,
yeah,
you know, on top of all this nonsense, we're going to have to deal with that. Hopefully nothing hits Texas this year. But, I mean, if something hits Florida, that could definitely impact your trip.
Yeah. We just haven't figured it out yet. There's been other more pressing, important things that we've been worried about. So, I mean, we still have a little bit of time. I mean, Disney's been really good right now about canceling, not charging you or whatever, and getting everything back, and same with the airfare, air flights and all that. So we're just playing it by ear right now. We'll figure it out soon. But I really do want to go, but I don't want to put anybody in danger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course not.
We might have to wait till everything is sort of cleared up, which might be next year, but that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, waiting a little while is not the worst thing, because no. We went to Galaxy's Edge, and I feel bad saying this, but Galaxy's Edge was super boring. There's just nothing there. It's cool to look at, you know, but the nostalgia and stuff only takes you so far. The build your own lightsaber thing was really cool. Build your own droid thing was very cool. We rode the Star Tours ride a couple times to see if there was multiple endings. That was fun. Millennium Falcon line was like 4.5 hours long.
Really?
So we didn't ride Millennium Falcon. Wow. Yeah, it was crazy. We got there late. The only option to ride Millennium Falcon was a single rider. And that was like 1 hour and 20 minutes, which my dad and my sister and her husband all waited 1 hour and 20 minutes to do the single rider. I was just like, my feet are killing me because I've walked for 3 days.
Were the grounds of Galaxy's Edge, were they pretty packed as well?
It's very busy. Yeah, yeah. It's very busy, and there's not a lot to do, so everything is extremely crowded.
So I went to Galaxy's Edge in Disneyland in September, and it was not particularly crowded, and I felt like maybe because of that, my experience of the land as a whole was different from yours. Mm-hmm. Like I felt like I was able to immerse a little bit more. That, like, because I mean, there were people there, but it wasn't, you know, super crowded, and so I was able to kind of sit back and like really take in the details, and that was really fun for me. As far as like stuff to do, Rise of the Resistance hadn't opened yet, but even so, we did Millennium Falcon two or three times, and I think 45 minutes was the longest we waited.
Wow. Oh wow, that's not bad at all.
Yeah,
it was crazy when we went. There was so many
Galaxy's Edge experience was apparently very different from yours.
And when did you go? I mean, when did you go? It was like February, right?
September.
No.
We went
the second week of February.
February.
And we had planned the whole thing out. I mean, my dad had been religiously checking to see, you know, what the stats for the parks were supposed to look like, because we had 2 days at Universal and 2 days at Disney, and we could use them on any of those 4 days. So we were trying to plan it out so that we would go to Star Wars on the day where it was the least busy.
Right.
And somehow it worked out that we went there on the day where the national cheerleading competitions were being held. And there was like a billion people there. And I don't know. There was everything about Galaxy's Edge was pretty disappointing, except for the aesthetics. The lines were way too long. We didn't get to ride any of the good rides except for Star Tours. Even the actors walking around, because one of the things we did for Donovan, because he's a little kid, is that we got him an autograph book so he could get, you know, signatures from his favorite characters or whatever. I know a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
So like he kept trying to get signatures from the actors in Galaxy's Edge, and none of them would stop. They wouldn't stop and talk to him. They wouldn't acknowledge him. They just kept walking by him every single time. He got so discouraged that he just stopped trying. And I mean, we had a lot of time, because while my dad and my sister and her husband were getting on Millennium Falcon, we had like 1.5 hours to just wander the park and look at everything. So all we were doing was running into characters, and he kept trying and kept trying and kept trying, and they were all just dismissive of him. It kind of pissed me off.
Well, that sucks. You had a unenjoyable experience. Hopefully it's not like that for everybody. I'm wondering, after it does open back up and everything is safe, everybody is cool, what it's going to be like there. Do you think it's going to be a ghost town? Do you think it's going to be everybody that had to cancel their trips are now all going to go at one time? I don't know.
I think people will probably wait and see what the virus and just the projected statistics are going to look like in general before they make any kind of plans. Because, I mean, I think a lot of places are going to reopen in May and June, and it might be too early still.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, even if they go through and they say they disinfected the entire park, all it takes is one day of people being there with some sick people to just spread it and infect a whole bunch more, you know, and it's an international hub for so many places that, you know, it could just start the pandemic all over again and give it another kick in the pants to get it, you know, infecting everybody.
Before we move on, though, I
want to say one more thing about Disney. Despite not having the best time at Galaxy's Edge, I had entirely more fun at Magic Kingdom than I expected to.
Did you? Did your little kid come out?
More than it has in probably 20 years.
And that's not a giggity.
No. We rode Haunted Mansion a bunch.
Yeah.
That was super fun. We did that three times. We did Pirates a couple times. We rode the Winnie the Pooh ride. We rode Peter Pan. We watched the Donald Duck Fantasia thing where he steals Mickey's hat. That was Philhar Magic.
That
was probably my favorite thing in the whole park. It was so fun.
Wow.
You know, we watched the Muppets 3D adventure. We did almost everything, and then we stayed for the fireworks. And you know, I'm kind of a surly person. I have a good sense of humor, but I don't really like have a childlike sense of wonder about anything. So I'm like, we really don't have to stay for fireworks. Like, we could just go get food, go back to the hotel, relax. But they convinced me to stay for the fireworks, and I'm glad we did because it was such a spectacular show.
It's different there from anywhere else, for sure.
I really had no idea how like magic the firework display really could be. So it was worth staying for, and it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun in Magic Kingdom.
Dave, we're slowly converting him over.
You might have to do a lot of selling on Galaxy's Edge, which makes no sense because it's Star Wars, but
right.
Magic Kingdom was fun.
Well, hopefully one day when I get to experience, I will have a good time. That's all I hope for.
I hope so. Just don't go when the cheerleading championships are.
Oh, well, I will try to avoid that.
I've been in the parks during one of those. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're right. The Disney World is more of a hub, international hub. I mean, you have tour groups from all around the world that are going to go there and that go there. And Disneyland is a little bit different. It's more local park. So I can see the crowd different sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we have people from Sweden and China. Yeah. And, I mean, there was people speaking all different kinds of languages all over the place around us. And I mean, there were sick people too. There was a lot of people there that were coughing and sneezing and, you know, my head's on a swivel because I can't deal with that shit anyways, but inevitably I got sick.
Was COVID in the news by that time?
It was in China.
Yeah.
It was in China, it hadn't been started to take seriously. I mean, they were still lying about their numbers and downplaying the whole thing. And Trump was downplaying the whole thing. So, you know, nobody took it as seriously as we are now.
That's very true.
Some of us, there's still a bunch of morons trying to party on Galveston Beach and, have their spring break. So,
bad news on my end. If anybody out there doesn't know, I work for a comic book convention here in Houston, and we had to put the announcement out today that we are canceled for 2020. I'm not trying to say that like Barbara Walters either, not 2020, but
Sucks, but I mean,
it's the safe thing to do. It's the right thing to do, I think.
That's one of our favorite shows that we end at every year. And I've been kind of on pins and needles over here waiting to find out what the word is. And it's not what I would prefer, but it's the decision I am most comfortable with. So
not the decision I prefer either, but I am comfortable with it too. We can talk offline about other things on those type of on different aspects.
It's bittersweet because I mean, I think Comic Palooza for a lot of us, especially the podcasters in Houston, it's where we see all our community. It's where everybody hangs out. It's it's where all of us became friends. So it's something that everybody looks forward to. You know, not just in our community, but in all the nerd and geek communities throughout Texas and even beyond that. So it's definitely a disappointment to have to cancel it, but you know,
it's the right thing.
It's the right thing. You gotta be safe for people because
it's for the greater good.
They'll make bad decisions and come anyways.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
If it goes on, so
they always say the greater good is it's for the greater good, and I think that is very true right now. Yeah. I mean, if Disney World can close down for not, it's going to be definitely more than 2 weeks. That there's something people need to seriously look at. You know what I mean? Because Disney never closes down. That's huge.
Everything's closed down.
Everything.
It's an unprecedented event. I mean, sports teams aren't playing.
Right.
Concerts aren't happening. You know, Renaissance fairs are shut down. Conventions are shut down. You know, you can't even go into a restaurant and sit down to eat anymore.
Nope.
Like, you know, this is an unprecedented event, and it's just crazy. It's a crazy time to be alive, that's for sure.
Do you want to talk about some of the concerts?
That aren't happening?
Yeah, like every single one. I will say that I am... Oh. Go ahead, Dave.
You're probably about to say what I was going to say, but I was going to say if the last concert of the year for me was Devin Townsend, yeah, I'm happy.
Me too. Devin Townsend, just on a quick different segue here, the show was amazing. If you're not following Devin Townsend on his social media, follow him. He's been doing this quarantine project, so he puts out a new song like every day. And the cover he did of what's that Venga Boys song, the We Like to Party song?
Yeah.
Oh my God. What the hell? It was
so stupid.
You know what it reminds me of? It just reminds me, remember the old Six Flags commercials with the bald-headed guy on the bus?
Yeah.
They play that song?
They used that, like, sound clip is in that same sound clip that from those commercials is in there.
Yes. Yeah. It reminds me of Six Flags every time I hear that song. And it has Annika and Shay Ame on there. It's great. But he put out a beautiful song today. It's just follow him because he's, you know, he's putting out free music every day. And he's twitching. Yeah. Twitching, that sounds weird to say it like that, but he's live streaming his process on some of these songs too.
Well, a lot of musicians are. I mean, it's not just him.
Yeah.
A lot of musicians are really interacting with their fans in a new way and doing all kinds of impromptu performances and, you know, showing them how to play, like instructional videos, like all kinds of crazy stuff.
I know Wolfhart's about to do a show April 9th, maybe, something like that. I have to double check the date, but it's like $20 for – they're putting on a full entire headline show just online. Just, you know, and you can download it later too. I'm like, if there's bands like that, they're having, you know, all these tours have been canceled and you want to support them, that's what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
We watched the St. Patrick's Day Dropkick Murphys live stream.
I watched part of that too. That was fun.
It was cool. Yeah. Like, I'm not a huge Dropkick Murphys fan, but like I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was also cool to me, you know, talking about bizarre times to be alive. If you're looking for the good things in that too, I feel like that kind of thing was one of them because like they threw that whole thing together in like a couple of days.
Oh, really?
Like because they were scheduled to have their concert and then all of these lockdowns started happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, as far as I could tell, and again, I'm not a big fan. I wasn't following it real closely, but as far as I could tell, it was like they threw this thing together and live streamed it kind of at the last minute. And I thought it was cool that we're able to do that.
Yes.
You know,
if this happened 20 or 30 years ago, it would have been a totally different situation with the invent of social media and where we are technology wise right now. It's much better. I think this is like bands can do things like that and interact with their fans when they can't be in front of them in a live venue. You know, there's different ways to experience your favorite artist now.
Yeah.
And I think,
and it's not even just music.
It's
all art.
It's
so many artists are doing all kinds of live streams and internet.
So like Josh Gad is reading children's books every day to kids. And it's just, It sucks that it takes something like this for these type of things to happen, but I think
you can watch LeVar Burton read Neil Gaiman.
That's right. That's actually really cool. The one show I did want to mention is the Rotting Christ Bortnagar show got moved till next year to 2021. I think this around the same time, so like the March area. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm glad they're coming back.
And they're selling merch. Yeah, they're selling merch online to help support from this tour, you know. I think my wife bought, like, too much stuff, like a hoodie and a shirt and something else. I don't know. But, yeah, it's – I know things are uncertain right now, but if you can support your favorite bands in this way, follow them. Insomnium is another band that I did. I bought the – they had that special Insomnium Gathering shirt that was a combo from both bands on the tour.
Do they still have any of those?
I don't. Sell out? I don't know. I'm not really sure. I bought it
because I was thinking about getting one of those too.
Yeah,
they're still taking orders. I think they're going to make as many as they can sell.
Yeah, I thought they were making them as orders on demand. So they haven't printed. They're taking the orders and they're going to print them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is a good thing to do with your stimulus check when you get it.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Support bands that you love. You know, it's just, it's a very.
Because they're not going to be getting any of the business bailouts, so.
No.
Yeah.
Especially the band that we listen to. I don't know. This is, it's a new world, but so we've all been quarantined. Let's talk about what we've been doing at home. What have we been watching and playing and all that kind of stuff? You want to go, Dave? You want to start?
So I know you're probably expecting me to talk about Doom Eternal.
I am.
I haven't played it yet.
Oh no. I have.
I got it on Monday. It's installed and updated and ready to go, but I have not had a chance to play it yet. So I'm sorry to burst your bubble. I don't have a review.
I can talk a little bit about it. It's a freaking great game. It's beautiful game. It looks great. It's very Doom. It's very fast paced. And I'm not afraid to admit it. I put it on easy because that shit's hard.
Oh, I'm going ultra violence right out of the gate.
Oh God. You're a braver man than me then. I'm at the end of the third mission, and the missions are long too, but it's cool. Between each mission, you can go back to your ship and roam around and upgrade stuff, and it's pretty cool. Really, really cool game. And the soundtrack is pretty amazing. A lot of metal stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Well, they did that. They did that big call out last year where they were like doing a call out for metal musicians to come in and record something for it. So like they were specifically looking for like death growlers and that kind of thing. So
I know James Rivera's in there. From Hellstar.
Oh, that's right. He did do that. Yeah. Do you know yet what all of that was used for? Have you heard in the game like what all that was used for?
I don't know. I know it's
okay.
Somewhere there's a huge song with like a big chorus of all these vocalists, and I'm not sure in the game where it is.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking maybe in credit. I don't know. That'll take me a while to get there.
What I have played a little bit of though, mm-hmm. So we got the pre-order bonus for Doom Eternal, and I got that several days before the game itself actually arrived.
Okay.
The Doom 64 port.
I need to go back in and do that because a couple nights ago I went into to download it, and it kept on giving me error messages that please try again later, so I didn't go back to do it, but I still have my code. I need to go and download that.
Yeah, I did actually play some of that. I'm on like level 7 or 8, I think, on that one, and so that's actually a Doom property that I haven't played.
Oh, really?
Doom is one of, if not my favorite video game franchise of all time, but I never played Doom 64. It's different. It's different and weird to me.
I think I still have the actual cartridge for that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Do you really?
I actually have it for the Switch.
I was thinking about that, but it's like $4.99 or something like that. It's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
One of the games that I cannot recommend enough, if you guys have Xbox Game Pass, the sequel to Ori is called Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Oh my God, man. This game is my number one game of the year right now. It's everything about the first Ori game in the blind Ori and the Blind Forest was the first game. It's about 5 years ago. This game is stunningly beautiful. It's a Metroidvania style game, but you're like a little sprite. It's pin perfect movement. Everything about the game is just brilliant. It's sad. It's a very emotional game. You can really get into the emotions of this game. It's just such a hauntingly amazing experience. I can't recommend it enough. If you have the opportunity to play it, please do. Even if you can't download it from Game Pass, it's only like a $29 game. Definitely worth buying. And it's a longer game too. It took me maybe 10 to 12 hours to beat it. But okay. I was addicted to this game so much.
We had a game family game day the other day. Just stuff to do during the quarantine, mm-hmm. man. And so I played Smash Brothers with my kids for a
Did
while
you?
And like well and yeah and like I'd never really gotten into the Smash Brothers games, so I have no idea what I'm doing. I am complete button mashing the whole time.
A lot of people do that. So, that's what I do.
But we did that for a while, did some Mario Party stuff as well for a while. Okay. We also, it wasn't all digital. We played the Pathfinder card game,
mm-hmm.
which Pathfinder is, if you're not familiar, is kind of an unofficial offshoot of Dungeons & Dragons.
Is it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, the basic rule set for the original Pathfinder game is derived from the third edition, 3.5 edition of Dungeons & Dragons rules.
Mm.
And my understanding, and it may be flawed, somebody probably knows better than I do, but my understanding is that when they made the switch, when Wizards of the Coast switched to the fourth edition of Dungeons & Dragons, it was a drastically different game. They changed a lot of the mechanics and how that stuff worked, and I think that Pathfinder grew out of a resistance to that. Basically, they said, "No, we like it how it was, so we're going to continue." And because that stuff was using a D20 material, mm-hmm. which is an open D20 is an open license rule set. They said, okay, so we're just going to use the D20 system, and here's basically the same game with some minor tweaks. It's basically like continuing to play third 3.5 edition Dungeons and Dragons. Well, they have this card game version of it, which is still kind of like playing a role playing game, but everything's done with cards. Like you have like pre-made characters that are represented on cards, and you have scenarios and adventures that they're pre-written, but every time you play them, they're different because of how the cards shuffle out.
That sounds very interesting.
So I played it years ago, and we were gifted it, and I hadn't opened our copy of it, and this seemed like a really good excuse to do that. I forgot how time consuming it was. we played one scenario and it took like 4 hours, and the kids were like totally done by the time we got to the end of it.
You're like, no, this is fun. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Dad, like, you didn't say it was going to be 8 hours of gameplay.
Yeah. It was much longer and a lot more complex than I remembered it.
Don't you like reading rules, girls?
I did not subject them to that. I was like, what we're going to do, I read the rules, we're just going to start playing, and I'm going to explain as we go.
Sounds fun.
I thought it was fun. It's a cool game. I like the game. But yeah, I feel like we might have made more progress just playing Pathfinder. Like, just play Pathfinder as it's written in the books, and it probably we probably would have gotten more done. But
yeah.
What about you, Justin? What have you been playing?
A whole lot of Animal Crossing.
Oh my god! You've been sucked into that world. Well, it was the fireworks at Disney that did it, wasn't it?
No. I mean, a long time ago, when Erica and I first started dating, our friend James, who's the one I talked about before, who passed away, he was super into Animal Crossing.
Oh, really?
And him and Erica used to play all the time together. And so when Erica and I started dating, she convinced me to get a DS and to get it. And we played together a little bit, but I got bored with it fairly quickly because, you know, it's a game where pretty much all you do is, you know, chores. And you like farm stuff and, you know, go fishing and, like, just try to upgrade your house and talk to random villagers. And there's no real agenda. There's no real, like, you know, competition or anything like that in the game. So I got kind of underwhelmed by New Leaf. But the new one was coming out. Erica was for sure going to buy it. And I wanted to be able to play with her, so I picked it up too. And I got to say, New Horizons is so much better than New Leaf was. They've ironed out all the kinks. It's a lot more fun. Mm. It's a lot more friendly interface because it's one screen instead of two, and you don't have to use the stylus for anything. I'm having a blast playing it, which I honestly went in with pretty low expectations, but so many of my other friends are playing it too because it's everybody's on quarantine, so nobody has anything else to do really. So, you know, before
I've seen a lot of postings on social media about that game.
The memes themselves are worth buying the game just so you can understand them.
I don't know. But I don't know if I'm convinced enough. Just not me.
Before it go out, do you think it's me?
Not really. No. That's what's surprising to me.
Before it came out, I had like three friends on my friends list, and I didn't really play anything with anybody on Switch. But now I have like 26 people, and I've been to lots of other people's towns and had people come and join me. And I'm doing way more social interaction in that game than I have in any online game in a long, long, long time. So it's been a lot of fun. I've also been watching a lot of TV series. We got an HBO trial and watched The Outsider.
I have not watched that yet.
It's pretty damn good.
That's a Stephen King story, right?
Stephen King adaptation, written and directed by Jason Bateman and starring Jason Bateman, at least in the beginning.
Oh, speaking of Jason Bateman, the new season of Ozark starts tomorrow.
Oh, awesome. Yeah Ozark is great, too. But Outsider has a lot of twists and turns you don't expect, and it's really well done. It's one of the best King adaptations I've seen.
Oh, cool.
I really, really enjoyed it. And then we got a Showtime free pass, and we've been watching Shameless and getting caught up on some of our other shows we watched that we went by the wayside when we got rid of cable.
Mm-hmm.
So... really, that's all I've been doing is like subscribing to free trials and right. You know, watching as much as I can and then canceling them before the payments due.
I've watched the first season of Kidding, the Jim Carrey series, because it was free through Amazon Prime. It was like some Showtime thing. They gave you the whole first season, and there's like a second season that's already out, but that show was really good. Have you seen it yet?
I'll have to check. I haven't seen that yet. We finished Shameless last night, so we were going to start on Black Monday today.
Okay, I've seen previews for that. I think you would like Kidding. It's very weird and depressing at points. You know what it's about?
Not really.
He's think of Jim Carrey. He plays like a Mr. Rogers type character, and he has a show, and he's slowly going bonkers.
Okay.
Like his wife is two kids, twins, and one of them dies in a car accident. It just starts this whole spiral in his life, you know, and just, I think Jim Carrey is really, really good in this show. He's creepy, but there's points of it when he's channeling that Mr. Rogers character. He's just so good at it. I recommend the show a lot.
Well, I mean, I got plenty of time.
Yeah.
So once I finish Black Monday, I'll probably check that out next.
What else have we been watching over here? BoJack Horseman.
I watched a bunch of movies.
We'll get to that in a second. I want to talk about. Have y'all seen BoJack Horseman?
Yeah,
I haven't watched any of it.
I binged the fuck out of that show for like a month straight. That show was so good. I missed the bandwagon on it. I'm glad I jumped on finally. It's such a funny and meaningful show, I think. The whole show is basically about depression.
Yeah.
Really, it depression, alcoholism, and how it's just – I think it's a phenomenal show, and Will Arnett is great. I can't listen to Will Arnett and not think of BoJack Horseman now. Even when he says like Lego Batman, I'm like, all right, it's BoJack now.
Yeah, it's like a common thing, I think.
But it's funny, I mean, too. It's a funny show.
Well, the humor in it is not the type of humor you usually get in adult cartoons.
It's very
Family Guy. It's not South Park. It's not slapsticky.
There's a lot of inside like Hollywood jokes in there.
There is, and there's a lot of like subtlety to the way the funny stuff gets delivered.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really, there's a lot of dark humor.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of like truly depressing episodes. I mean, I watched it, you know, season to season as it came out. And, you know, there was a lot of times where they did like half a season got released and then the second half of the season came out later.
Mm.
So watching it all in one run, I'm sure is a different experience than watching it, you know, with breaks in between. So a lot of the time when the really depressing stuff happens, you know, that's when the mid-season finale is or where the break happens.
Right.
And, you know, that stuff sticks with you. I mean, I don't know if you had time to process it because you moved on to the next episode so quickly, but like a lot of that stuff, you would watch it and it would hit you and you would just be like, fuck. And then like a week later, you'd still be thinking about BoJack.
Yeah.
And like, you know, then you forget about how bad it was. A month would go by, 2 months would go by, whatever. And then the rest of the season would come out and you'd go and you'd watch it. You'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe we left him in this state.
I highly recommend the show. It's not, I didn't know what it was. I mean, I think I saw an episode when they rebroadcast it on like Comedy Central at some point, but I didn't know the characters. I didn't know what was going on. It's such a worthwhile show and in a very, I think a show that everybody should watch.
I kind of agree that it's like it should be required watching.
It's a watershed moment in like not just cartoons but just in general, you know.
Well, I think it shows people that don't understand what depression is, what depression is really like, and that alone is
worthwhile
reason
yeah.
that everybody should watch it. But it also shows people with depression that there is hope and you can overcome extreme obstacles to get back to a regular place. Maybe not in the end, but it's really just, there's so many life lessons in the show, I guess is what I'm saying. And there's not a lot of cartoons, especially that have that these days.
I agree. What's your favorite episode?
Oh man, that's tough.
I have two different ones and they're totally completely opposite of each other. I love the one where he goes to that underwater city, and it's like there's like almost no dialogue in the whole episode.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's a lot of shows that wouldn't take the balls to do something like that. And the other
they definitely take risks.
Oh yeah. And the other one is when he's reading the eulogy at his mom's funeral, and I used air quotes there, not to spoil anything. That was he should have won some kind of award for that episode.
Oh, I'm not ashamed to say that I cried many times throughout my watching of BoJack. And I mean, I don't really get emotionally connected to things very often, you know. Like I can watch tragic stories about anything and it doesn't affect me, but I identified with BoJack so deeply because I understand what anxiety and depression are like because I've dealt with it for so long. So, you know, maybe not the alcoholism, but you know, I've been exposed to enough of that in my life too that I can relate. It's just, I don't know. I think my favorite episode is probably the finale. The last episode really just when he thinks he's on the verge of death and everything's spiraling out of control and he's struggling so hard to stay alive.
Yeah.
That really, really got to me. But It's a fantastic show. If you've never watched BoJack Horseman, you owe it to yourself to watch it.
Agreed. It was one of those things. I'm like, you know what? I've been hearing a lot of people talk about the show. I'm going to give it a shot. Addicting. I tell you, it's like, okay, I want one more. One more. Kim's like, okay, can we watch something else for a while? I'm like, no. One more. One more. I just like the addiction in the show. That's how I felt about watching it.
Yeah. It's unique. It's truly unique. And there's nothing else like it. So
there's a lot of shows I need to finish that I haven't finished. Like The Dark Crystal and Lock and Key. I haven't even finished the season of The Witcher yet. There's a lot of stuff I need to catch up on now that I have
Witcher's
time.
Great. Yeah. Lock and Key is great. I can't speak to Dark Crystal. It's hard for me to watch that, but the other two are good.
Have you watched Ozark? I'm sorry, Tiger King. I don't know why I said that.
Not yet, but that's the other thing everybody on the internet is talking about.
I know.
About.
I tried watching an episode. I'm like, okay.
I feel like the it's one of those things that the deeper in you go, the more insane it becomes.
Maybe.
Because I keep hearing, you know, or seeing posts about people talking about just the complete insanity that's in that show. So I'm sure at some point over this quarantine, I will watch it, but I've not yet.
What about you, Dave? What have you been watching?
Very little, honestly. Mm-hmm. Haven't really been watching a lot of TV. We're continuing our trek through Supernatural.
Oh, are you? How far are you?
We're in season 9 now.
Wow. And it's like 15? How many? 16?
There's 15 seasons. My wife has watched all but the final season. She's waiting for me to catch up to watch the final season.
What a nice lady.
So, well, and she's enjoying the rewatch because, oh my God, does this show have lore? There's so much that goes on and the stuff that you forget that they then call back later and you're like, oh, I didn't realize I was supposed to be paying that much attention to this character or this event or whatever. So she's enjoying the second watch through because she knows what the important points are. So she's paying a little bit closer attention to those this time through. And she can kind of like give me a heads up. She'll be like, hey, keep an eye on this one. This one's important, you know? So
I made the mistake of downloading the Food Network app today on my iPad. That's like one of my vice. I love watching like food, like competition shows for some reason. I don't know why. I just love it.
I can, but like I never feel drawn to. Like it's kind of like watching sports on TV. Like I can get into it if it's already on. I'll be like, hey, okay, let's check this out. But like I don't go seek that stuff out.
Yeah,
I can't agree with you on the sports. There's nothing that sports could do that would draw me in. But cooking shows, I'm right there with you. Like it's something that I would never ever seek out to watch. But Erica loves them, so she'll put them on and then I'll get really like invested.
Yeah. What's going to happen? Who's going to win? Yeah. I think that's what I like about it so much. And it's something that anybody could do. Anybody can learn to cook. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've learned stuff just by watching these shows.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely have.
Yeah. I've been watching, there's one right now. It's Champion or Tournament of Champions. There was like 16 different chefs and they're all trying to, you know, it's like a bracketed style show hosted by
you mean Final Table or whatever?
No,
Netflix.
No.
Oh,
it's sort of close. This is on Food Network, so it has all
a similar type of show.
Is it? But yeah. Do they have Guy Fieri?
Well, it has like,
because this one does
like some of the biggest shit. Like, so the one that we're watching on Netflix is called Final Table.
I haven't heard of this
and
one
it's
yet.
Like 16 Michelin star chefs or chefs that have won a bunch of awards all from all over the country, like all over different countries. And they take two chefs and they pair them together, usually chefs that are friends. And then they pick a country like Mexico, for example. And then they have three judges from Mexico.
Oh,
one who's a famous chef, one who's a famous actress, and one who's like somebody who's, you know, a part of the government of Mexico or whatever. And they do that for every country, whether it's Sweden or Spain or Mexico or USA or whatever. And then they give them what the most authentic type of food is from that country. So like Mexico is the taco. And then all the chefs have to work together to create their own unique version of whatever that food is. And then they judge it at you know, all the ones that were above a certain standard move on to the next round, and then the ones that are below it have to do a second round of cooking, mm-hmm. using another specialized ingredient from that home country, and they're judged by like who's ranked, whoever's considered like the top chef of that country.
That sounds very interesting to me.
it's really interesting.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. Okay. It's called Final Table.
You know what? If you haven't watched on Netflix, the cooking show, the chef show with Jon Favreau.
Yeah, I saw that. It's pretty good.
That's really good. I enjoy that show a lot. All right. So now who's ready to go cook, I guess?
Erica's getting ready to grill up some steaks, actually. So
is she really?
I'll be eating them a while. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, Dave, back to Supernatural real quick. Is it should I start it? Because I've watched the first maybe two episodes a long time ago. I'm like, oh, maybe something I'll try to watch.
The early episodes are somewhat painful.
Yeah, I stopped.
I was into it by the end of the first season for sure. And then by season like three, I was like all in. Mm. And I mean, it suffers. There are some seasons that are definitely not as good. There's like a whole story arc that it was just painful to get through. But it's I like it, but it's like right up my alley. It's all full of like Monster of the Week shit combined with like demons and angels and occultism, mm-hmm. and like, I mean, it's just, but really the whole thing is all of that stuff is trapping for this like family story about these two brothers.
Yeah.
Like that's really what it's about, is the relationship of the two of them and then their relationships with a few other very key figures through the story. And the best moments in the show are the character moments. Where that stuff is really coming through, but that it's all set in this, you know, monster filled, magic is real, and we shoot, you know, demons with salt buckshot, mm-hmm. you know, like this kind of, it's fun, but then there's some pretty heavy moments and stuff in there too. It's hard for me to say how much you'd like it. You know, it's a I think you might enjoy it, mm-hmm. but I can't really say for sure. I don't know.
Maybe something me and the wife can start, because I don't think she's ever really watched it. And since I've never, you know, it's something we could start, maybe find something to watch during this time. Mm-hmm. And it's all on Netflix.
It is. I don't think the final season is up yet,
okay.
but it probably will be soon. Trying to think if there's any other TV shows I've been watching recently, and not really. If we're transitioning, my youngest daughter decided that in the midst of all of this, she'd like to do a MCU watch through.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we've started into that, because she really didn't care that much about that stuff. Like, she'd go to see the movies when we went, but it was kind of like whatever, mm-hmm. until Captain Marvel. Like, she totally locked into Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
And she is all about the character. We got her the full costume at Disneyland.
Nice.
And like, she was so stoked.
Did you get to meet her there?
Dude, that's a whole story. Actually, no.
Oh.
We bought her the costume to go do the meet and greet.
Aww.
And they canceled the final meet and greet of the day. We were on our way to it. She was in the costume and we were on our way there. And I pulled up the app and I was like, the meet and greet's not showing up on the app anymore. And so like I scouted ahead,
mm-hmm.
and there was a handler there, but no meet and greet. And so I was like, I said, hey, is Miss Danvers going to be making another appearance tonight? And she's like, oh, no, she's been called off planet. And like she was totally in character for the whole thing. It was cute or whatever. And I was like, well, that's going to be really disappointing to my 7-year-old who is currently dressed up as Captain Marvel. Does, and just super stoked to me.
Does she have any of the comics or anything?
She has some of the like Marvel Rising stuff. Okay. She has that.
I have duplicates of a ton of Captain Marvel shit. So if you want, I'll give them to you.
Probably, she would probably love it.
Yeah, I'll dig through all that stuff because I've been trying to like downsize my collection some anyways. And I know I have a ton of duplicates of Captain Marvel specifically. So, I mean, they may not all be sequential or whatever, but I mean, when I was 7 years old, I didn't care. I was just happy to be reading comics.
Yeah, she won't care.
So next time I see you, I don't know when that'll be, but I'll bring you a bunch.
All right, that'd be great. But yeah, she really latched on to Captain Marvel.
That's great.
And like when we went to go see Endgame, when the Thanos' gunship at the end turns all the cannons up towards the sky.
Yeah.
She knew what that meant, and she about lost her shit. Like, she was bouncing up and down in her chair in the movie theater because like, she knew she was coming.
It's my girl. She's coming.
And so now she's, like, she's wanting to watch through all the movies now. So we've started into that. We're not real far yet, but we've done Captain Marvel and Incredible Hulk. And I had forgotten how painful Incredible Hulk movie was.
Yeah. Are you going to start from the beginning? Like, are you going to start Iron Man and then keep on going way? Or?
We did Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, and we were in the middle of Iron Man 2. And I've been having trouble with the playback on Disney Plus.
Really? Are you talking Hulk with Edward Norton, or are you talking
Edward Norton? Yeah.
Okay. I mean, the Eric Bana one's worse.
I've never seen that one.
that one's a travesty. Like it's at the bottom with Wolverine Origins. Like,
ew.
Hulk and Wolverine Origins are like the two worst Marvel
movies.
Which one was
directed by Ang Lee? Was that?
The Eric Bana one.
Okay. Yeah.
Where he fights the giant dogs.
Yeah.
And then Hulk is actually in the movie for like less than 5 minutes total. And all he does is jump a couple times.
You took the kids to see Onward while we're still in the theater, right?
Yeah, we took
when there was a theater to go
see
to.
It. Yep, that's that's why we went, was to take the kids to see it. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What did you think of that movie?
Dude, I fucking loved it.
I knew you would.
If that movie wasn't made for me, like, are you kidding?
My favorite whole bit in that whole movie is when they go, there's like the sort of like, was a king, it was like one of the like the fast food restaurants, and the billboard said now serving second breakfast.
Burgershire
now serving second breakfast.
Yeah,
I thought that was a perfect joke. I'm like, that's amazing.
The whole thing, if you haven't seen it yet, or if you haven't seen any of the promo stuff for it, it's basically like the premise of it is all of the fantasy world stuff. Like, think of a Dungeons and Dragons, Lord of the Rings, whatever kind of medieval fantasy world that was real, and magic is real, but then technology has replaced magic. That technology made it easier to do all kinds of different stuff. And so you have what amounts to a modern day kind of suburban world that the story takes place in. But everybody is elves and trolls and, you know, all this stuff.
It's available now for digital, right? And it's going to be on Disney Plus next week for free.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I'll probably watch it when it comes to Disney Plus.
Yeah, I definitely recommend watching it.
So then what happens is these two brothers are gifted a magic staff from their dead father.
And it sort of turns into Weekend at Bernie's.
It kind of does. But because it's what it's supposed to do is bring their father back to life for one day. But they mess it up or something goes wrong, and only half of him comes back, and it's his lower half. And so they're having to go find the reagents to recast the spell so they can finish it so that they can actually have their time with him. But time's running out. The spell's already running And so they have to go on this adventure to find the stuff they need to bring him back. And so it turns into this, like, the story is about the two brothers and their relationship with each other. But, like, the younger one is kind of, like, quiet and unsure of himself and stereotypically, you know, bookish and that kind of stuff.
Played by Tom Holland, which makes sense.
Yeah, is Tom Holland. Yeah. And then the older one is Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. And he is the adventure game playing metalhead.
Yeah.
Boisterous guy. And
drives around that awesome van.
Guinevere.
Yep.
And I don't know. I like just all of that stuff, the fantasy stuff and the you know, the heavy metal references.
Yeah.
And the touching family relationship story stuff. It's like, okay, they made this movie for me. Yep. Apparently,
it's
like
the first Disney movie ever where a lead character is wearing a battle vest.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I tell you, I want the Orc Blood patch.
Orc Blood's a freaking amazing name for a metal band.
I am starting a band called Orc Blood, and we're just going to take that logo and use it because it's awesome.
It is. You know, I think before all this stuff happened, Hot Topic was advertising that they actually have, you could buy the jacket, the recreation of the jacket.
It looked kind of cheap to me. Honestly, it didn't look like
it. Well, I'm sure it was. I never saw it in store or anything. I'm sure it was pretty cheap for like $50, but like I want that Orc Blood patch. They need to make that.
Yeah, I just want the patch. Yeah. I loved the movie and I can't wait to watch it again. I thought it was really well done.
What have you been watching?
Yeah, I've seen you guys talking about it a bit. It looks pretty fun. I'll definitely check it out once it's available for Disney Plus.
For sure. What have you been watching? You said you've been watching a lot of movies.
Yeah, we watched Birds of Prey finally.
Oh, and?
So they took basically all the stuff that they added to Harley in New 52 and put it in this movie. I mean, she's got her hyena, she's got her beaver, she's got all these connections with people in her town. But they kind of glossed over a lot of it. Like they rushed through all the backstory with her, which I didn't really like that much. But everything else about the movie was really fun. My biggest complaint is how they portrayed Victor Zsasz, because they made him a lackey to Black Mask, who's Evan McGregor, which is really weird too.
Ewan
McGregor. Ewan. Sorry.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan. So,
right.
But overall, it was a lot better than I expected it to be. I mean, it's got similar types of jokes to Deadpool. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more fun than Suicide Squad was.
That's not
Huntress
hard to
was
do.
Amazing. I can't think of the actress's name. The one who played Huntress, though, she was awesome all the way through.
Wasn't Mary Elizabeth Winstead in that movie?
Yeah, that's her.
Okay.
She plays Huntress.
She plays Huntress.
She was fantastic.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, she was fantastic. But yeah, I mean, it was a lot better than I expected it to be.
Now, who is Rosie Perez in the movie?
She's a cop.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll probably watch it when it's coming to digital soon, or it already is. I don't know.
It's available on demand.
Okay.
I'm not sure if they've released it other places yet or not.
I mean, during this quarantine, that's where all movies are pretty much going to right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to recoup somehow. You know what I mean?
Man, I'm trying to remember what else I've watched, because I've watched a lot of stuff. Not all of it new. Let me pull up my Netflix to see if I can look at my history.
I will say I watched The Gentleman the other day. The new Guy Ritchie movie with Matthew McConaughey.
How was that?
It's fine. It was, let's say it's serviceable. The story was told in a weird way. Like, one of the characters, what's his name? I can't think of the guy's name now, the actor. Hugh Grant sort of tells a story as he's talking to one of the other guys in the movie that he's writing this. There's like a script going on. It's sort of confusing at times about how the story is really playing out. But I mean, it was fine. It's a cool, you know, gangster movie.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely worth watching. Hugh Grant was actually really good. Matthew McConaughey was actually really good. Charlie Hunnam was also in it.
Yeah, I've never really seen anything he's been in. I never ended up watching Nerds of or Sons of Anarchy.
I never did.
I watched
either.
About the first. I think I watched the first three or four seasons of it, and I enjoyed it. But it was around season three or four that like we had cut cable, and so I just fell off of it and never went back and finished it. I enjoyed what I saw of that series.
It's supposed to be good. I mean, people seem to love it. I just haven't had time to watch it, I guess. Let's see. Yeah, I know I've watched a ton of stuff. I can't think of any of it right now. We watched I Am Not Okay With This on Netflix. That's with the girl from It.
Oh, okay. What is that about? I keep on seeing that.
Is that the one from the Duffer Brothers?
Yes. It's about a girl who starts to develop telekinetic superpowers, and she doesn't know where they're coming from or why she has them. She's dealing with the loss of her father, who died recently, and they relocated to this new town. So she's trying to make new friends, and it's all about like the awkwardness of being a teenager, but also trying to deal with this power that you don't understand and can't control. And as it goes on, you learn that she has rage issues, and that, you know, whenever her rage comes out, she really can't control it. And it's kind of like Firestarter type moments that culminates with her like exploding some guy's head in the middle of the prom.
Oh, wow.
I mean, the bloody stuff is really well done, and the violent stuff is really well done, but there's not a ton of it. It's really kind of an interesting character piece about what it's like to be a teenage girl who is overcoming all this drama. But yeah, it was really good. I enjoyed it a lot. She's a good actress. I've liked everything I've seen her in. I can't think of her name, but she's great.
Cool. Let's move on to some music real quick while we're all on here. I know Justin is like the Bible of all new releases. What's been tickling your geek?
Oh man. So I listened to, well, like 43 albums or something like that that came out last week, and
Jesus,
man, what an abysmal week. Like, everything was bad.
Really? I know a couple of weeks before that, I discovered two or three really good albums off your list that I go back and listen to continuously.
So I really only gave everything one listen. There was a couple that I put marks next to, but because I'm at home and not at work, I haven't really been as diligent as I usually would be about listening.
Yeah.
So I can't really say with any kind of certainty that anything from this past week was great, except for Heaven Shall Burn. That album was actually pretty good, but a lot of the other stuff just didn't click with me. From the week before, though, we talked about Video Nasties in our chat.
We did.
That album, oh my God, I'm addicted to it. It's so fun. The only thing I wish is that they had picked different clips to sample into their songs, because it's really intense, fast-paced metal, with a lot of melody and pretty diverse melodies intertwining in places, but they put a lot of sampled bits from different horror movies into their music, which is why they named themselves Video Nasties.
Did you say it's British term for something, Dave?
Yeah, I've heard that term used in some British comedies and stuff like that to refer to B movies, you know, schlock and exploitation shit, that kind of stuff.
Makes sense.
The only thing that bothers me is that a lot of the samples they took are the same ones that Rob Zombie used on his earlier albums. So you'll hear the same samples like...
That would throw me way off.
It throws me off every time I hear it. But I can get past it because all the music's so good. It's a fantastic album. I've also really been digging The Spirit's new album.
I see that on your list.
Yeah, Cosmic Terrors. That one's really good.
Speaking of music, one of the things I did watch on Netflix was finally that Rush documentary that Banger Film did. That was really good. Mm-hmm. I had never seen it. It's like 10 years old now, but yeah, just watching it, knowing that Neil Peart is gone, it put the whole movie in a different direction. You know what I mean?
There's a There's a new documentary about them on Netflix too, isn't there? Is it? Or maybe on Amazon.
A new one? No, I don't know if there's a new one. It might be the same one. It's called as Light of Stage or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I think it is on one of the streaming services.
Yeah, I just think they might have.
My father-in-law watched it, and he said it was really good and recommended it to me.
It might have just been added to it recently, maybe.
I haven't seen that one. But
what about the Huntsman album, dude? I'm addicted to that album.
I'm still revisiting that one constantly. Yeah. Huntsman, it's such a good album. Earth Rot's really good.
That Earth Rot is good.
Vreta Hammer's album is really good.
Yes.
Have you heard To Conceal the Horns?
No.
You need to check out To Conceal the Horns. I like that one a lot too. But those are most of the ones from the last few weeks. You know, before that, we had that one week in February where it was just like, here's eight great albums or nine great albums or whatever.
I know tomorrow, as we're recording this, the new Aeternum album comes out.
Yeah, there's a long list for tomorrow. I may just have to sequester myself in my office and listen to music all day.
Make your playlist. I'll just binge off of you.
I mean, you know, I'm going to update it.
I know you will.
Updating it continuously. If any of your listeners want to get in on my playlist,
let's talk about that.
Just reach out to me. I mean, you can find me on Twitter @comicaljc, or hit me up on Facebook or on the Metal Geeks page, whatever. Just tag me. I have a playlist of every album that's come out in 2020 so far, which is like crazy long.
he's doing the Lord's work here, because I don't have time to do it all.
And then I have another playlist, which is just what I consider to be the best albums, everything that's scored a 4.0 or better, in my opinion. And there's like 50 albums, a little bit less than 50 albums in there, I think. So it's a pretty good selection. And there's, you know, it's not all just black metal, which, you know, is my favorite, but there's a lot of like mellow death, a lot of power metal, a lot of just really diverse stuff that's come out this year that I've really liked. So,
and we all need some new music in our life right now. Cause you know, I think what's going to happen, some bands are going to have to delay releases and things like that.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Chuck Billy from Testament? Oh man. Don't cough.
Yeah. I swallowed wrong. I'm
okay. Dying. Good. I think he's doing okay now, but the drummer from Will Carroll, the drummer from Death Angel, has not been doing well. The last I heard, he was still in ICU. Not good.
Yeah, there's a lot of people getting sick, and this thing can affect anybody. So it definitely,
I mean,
it's scary.
Yeah, it got Tom Hanks. I mean, come on. You think it sounds like a plot out of a movie, but it's real life, you know?
Oh, I watched Turner and Hooch the other day. We're talking about movies.
I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
Yeah, I haven't watched in a long time.
It holds up, though. Erica had never seen it, so I made her watch it with me, and she loved it. It holds up pretty well.
Really?
It's a fun movie, yeah.
I know they put all the Police Academy movies on Netflix. I'm like, I'm tempted to go back and watch those.
God, I've only ever actually watched one of those.
Really?
And it was like one of the later ones too. And it was like at a friend's birthday party when we were like really young. That's the only Police Academy movie I've ever watched.
I remember a buddy of mine, when we were younger, we went to a movie. We said we're going to a certain movie. We snuck out and went to a Police Academy movie. It was maybe the one they were in Vegas or something. I don't remember. But we thought
scandalous.
It was very scandalous. Yeah.
I mean, I did the same thing with American Pie when it came out, so it's fine.
All right, guys. Well, I think I want to get back to my quarantine here, so I think we're going to wrap up the episode.
Okay.
Anybody have any last-minute things they wanted to discuss tonight?
Just, you know, wash your hands, stay home, try to stay safe.
Yeah. Everything I was about to say, yeah, for sure. Be safe out there. Well, be safe in there. Don't go anywhere if you have to. If you know, you can get
go to
stuff.
The grocery store if you need food. Try to have stuff delivered if you have to.
Yep.
Like, you know, go to the doctor if you start having breathing problems, for sure. But other than that, stay your ass home. There's lots
Please.
Of stuff going on. We talked about a bunch of stuff you can do just in this episode.
That's right. Listen to this episode and binge everything we talked about. Start Supernatural. Yeah. That'll keep you busy for a few days.
That'll keep you busy for a while.
or Animal Crossing. That'll take up the entire quarantine.
I'm not on board quite yet, but maybe next. Talk to me next week. Maybe, I don't know.
We're gonna lose Carrie.
Nope. I gotta beat Doom Eternal. But if you are home, play Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I'm telling you, it's an amazing experience. Not just a game; it's an experience. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in to episode number 177 of the Metal Geeks Podcast. You can find us all over the interwebs, metalgeekspodcast.com. You can find us on Stitcher and Spotify and Google Play. And what are they calling iTunes now? Is it Apple Music or whatever they're calling it?
Apple Podcasts.
Wherever you can find your podcast, whatever app you use, search for Metal Geeks MSRcast. You will find both of our shows there. You can find us on the ESONetwork.com, where you can find all the cool shows that make up the network. You can find their feed, too, where all the shows are brought to your feeder right there. And we're also where all of the internet at Metal Geeks, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you want to reach out through email, it's msrcast@gmail.com. You have a request, you want us to talk about something, you just want to talk to us about anything, send us an email there. We're cool.
You can do literally anything to talk to Carrie except show up at his house. So
you cannot show up my house right now. I will not let you in. And where can people find...
You shouldn't either.
Who, me?
Anybody.
Anybody. Yeah, nobody.
Anybody. Don't let people in your house right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, Dave?
Look, we're all nerds here. Do what you're meant to do. Cloister yourself away. Avoid social contact. It's your time to shine.
We've nerds. Been training for this.
So
we follow your exactly follow right. your primal urges.
You can find me exclusively right now by looking for the Red Viking Dave tag on your social media feeds. Can't find me anywhere else for a while.
There you go. Yeah, follow him there and check out all his cool artwork that he does.
Oh, like that piece you did last night when you couldn't sleep. That's badass, man.
Yeah, when I'm done, I'll post images of it. I still got quite a bit left to do on it, but yeah, this was my fever dream that happened instead of sleeping. And it's pretty neat.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Well, as for me, if you want to find me, I'm at ComicalJC on Twitter and Instagram. MindFudgeComedy.com for my podcast, although we are not putting out new episodes at the moment because we cannot meet. And unfortunately, we can't do Skype recording like these guys can. But we'll put out a new episode as soon as we can.
Awesome. Well, you're invited
to the old ones. They're still funny.
Yep. You're invited here anytime you want, man. You're part of the crew.
I appreciate that.
So thanks for tuning in. We have one last thing we have to say on every episode.
Keep it metal.
And?
Keep it geeky.
Yeah. I was waiting for George to say something stupid,
See,
but he's
of,
not
part
here.
Part of the crew.
That's right.
I almost said balls, you know.
You can say
just so you know.
Either one, you'd have fit right in.
That's right. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, everybody stay safe out there. Wash your hands. And we will see you guys next time. Later.
Bye, everybody.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
And I'm Tony Heath.
And we've been watching Doctor Who for 5 years.
So that makes us experts.
Probably.
I once heard a guy say that he listened to a 4-hour podcast by an expert, which made him an expert.
So we're experts.
Definitely experts.
And you can be an expert, too.
All you have to do is listen to...
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
It's a podcast.
That we make.
Together.
Sometimes with friends.
Listen to it.
Or else.
The Watchathon of Rassilon.
A proud member of the ESO Network.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.